Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up and welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network presented by Bet Online. My name is Sam Dracula, if you want to get formal today, and this week is just me. I appreciate everyone who's come on to the podcast as a guest the last few weeks, but there's so much to dive into here post-draft because as I'm recording this, it's just after 9 a.m. Eastern time, July 30th, the day after. The Hornets did a madness. Mitch Kupchak did a madness on draft night. And we're getting into all of that from Mason Plumlee to Book Knight to Kai Jones and all the interesting second round picks the Hornets picked up along the way. But before we get into everything, I want to say thank you to Bet Online for sponsoring the podcast. Obviously, there's no NBA games to bet on currently, but there's tons of prop bets and future bets to look into, as well as baseball is in full effect. So head on over to betonline.ag. They have all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I think the timing is right. Around like 30 to 45 minutes before the draft began, a tweet is sent out from a very reputable source, Woj from ESPN. He says that the Pistons are finalizing a trade to send Mason Plumlee to Charlotte. All right. Already, Matt. Then you factor in the Hornets in that deal will move up 20 spots in the second round from 57 to 37 for taking Plumlee on. So the Pistons get a worse second round pick and the Hornets get a better second round pick and Mason Plumlee. So for the Pistons, it just seems like a move just to get rid of Plumlee's salary. They have a longer vision here because Plumlee's on the books this season and next season at $8 million a year each year. So $8 million this year, $8 million next year, which is in the grand scheme of things, is really affordable. I think the Hornets would be paying, if they went into free agency looking for a center, a Cody Zeller replacement, a Bismack Biyombo replacement, they'd be paying a lot more per season. So economically, it makes a lot of sense for the Hornets. For the Pistons, they clear the books of Plumlee and they get a worse pick in the second round. So it is what it is. They got Cade Cunningham. Everything is fine over there, right? For us, for the Hornets, I look at Plumlee as an upgrade over Cody Zeller. I think he's a more gifted offensive threat than Cody Zeller, a guy who can shoot the ball, has more like offensive tools in his arsenal than Cody Zeller. Zeller, you look at a guy who's effective in the pick and roll and in rim running situations, right? Plumlee can do that too and a little more. And so I think that's an upgrade. Plumlee last year, 10.4 points per game, 9.3 rebounds per game, 3.6 assists, shooting the ball 61% from the field. You know, what's not to like about that? It's a known quantity, right? Like, I feel good about Mason Plumlee joining the Charlotte Hornets and being the short-term kind of answer for now until the Hornets can get a long-term solution in the center spot. Because the beauty of it is, there's plenty of basketball. Like, basketball isn't going away, so the Hornets don't need to risk it or overpay, like either in like in picks or just in straight up American dollars in capital and cap space to make their center position improved. It's a very interesting position they're in. So I like Mason Plumlee in the short term, and then as we'll get to later, what they did in the draft in the long term, the center looks the center position for the Charlotte Hornets looks pretty bright. Pretty bright. And I can't believe it. It's so cool. I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy with what they pulled off, because, you know, they had the top players in the draft: Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley. I looked at Evan Mobley going to the Cavs as a landing spot. Would be great for him, and would also be interesting from a Cavs point of view, because would they be interested in trading Jared Allen, a guy who would be really useful here in Charlotte? And I think that's out the window now. You know, I thought maybe having two centers would be too much for them and they'd be looking to flip Jared Allen. But no, I think it's done. I think the Jared Allen, Miles Turner rumors are over with, at least for now. Because, you know, if Mason Plumlee works, you know, job done. If it doesn't work, he's a very, like, tradable asset there. And he could be packaged in a deal with other players to get a new center. And so, like, it's a very short-term and economical and beneficial from an on-court point of view move. And the Hornets add another veteran, too. He's 30 years old, 31 years old, and he'll mesh in nicely with all the other young players in this team. So salute. Off to a great start. Off to a fantastic start. I feel like I'm underselling it in a way. The Hornets did a great job before the draft even began. So the top three of the draft went as expected: Cade to the Pistons, Jalen Green to the Rockets, Evan Mobley to the Cavs. At four, the Raptors took Scottie Barnes, which just, I don't get it. I thought Jalen Suggs was the guy there. Is what it is. That they're that front office, the Toronto front office, is top tier. So I trust that they know what they're doing. But it really shook things up because the Magic were there at five. I thought the entire, like, leading up to the draft, I thought that the top four would be really boring and expected, and it wasn't. Monkey wrench into the situation. Scottie Barnes goes four. Jalen Suggs at five. And then the Thunder took Josh Giddey at six, leaving Kuminga there for the Warriors at seven, a guy who was falling a little bit as the kind of draft process carried on. I thought maybe there's a chance Kuminga could be there at 11. Just maybe. Not like overly convinced, but I thought there was a slight possibility he could fall to us at 11. Didn't happen. The Warriors scooped him up. I think that's a great situation for him, considering he's such a project. He doesn't have to be rushed into the rotation in Golden State. Magic took Franz Wagner at eight. And then Davion Mitchell to Sacramento is crazy. So this is the day after the draft. I thought for sure during the draft that this pick would be traded, because they have Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox and currently employed, right? Like, what are you doing drafting a 6-foot point guard when you have De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton in your team already? So, like, it was just like, do they know something we don't know about the future of those guys? Or maybe they just love Davion Mitchell. If they do, fair play. Take the best player available. It's hard to really argue with. But very strange. And then, you know, Zaire Williams goes next. And then the Hornets are there at 11. And genuinely, I had a list of six players that I would love. Well, three guys I would love at 11 and three guys I'd be like, oh, very happy with. Just a tear down. James Bouknight was top of the list, and he was there, and the Hornets drafted him. He didn't look too happy, but I think it's because he was waiting way longer than expected. The Hornets snagged a fantastic off-ball guard, a guy that can handle it on the ball, but as of just a future running mate for LaMelo Ball, it's a huge win. And it's one of those things where, like, you look at the current makeup of the team. Terry Rozier is a unrestricted free agent after this season. So when this upcoming season is over with, Terry Rozier can leave this team for nothing. You know, Malik Monk, Devontae Graham, restricted free agents. The guard position for the Charlotte restricted free agents right now. The guard positions for the Hornets is an area of strength because of the talent and bodies they have currently. But long term, it's a question mark. And so Bouknight can theoretically come in now and be an off-the-bench scorer. He can handle the ball well. He can score inside and out. He's a very good athlete as well. He just needs to, he can you can learn like under Terry Rozier, under Malik if he comes back, under Devontae if he comes back, and then 2-3 years from now, if not sooner, be the starting shooting guard next to LaMelo Ball for the next 8, 9, 10 years. Like that, going, getting this guy who is called a spark plug scorer, like that's what you want. That's what you need. And what I love about him is that he shot the ball from the free throw line at 81%, which tends to translate into a very like solid 3-point shooter in the future. Because he only shot 30% from three at UConn, which isn't great, but he was taking a lot of shots. He was asked to do a lot on the offensive end. So that the volume to percentage is going to be off. And he's going to get better as he gets older, as he gets more experienced in the league. But averaging 19 points in college, 1.9 assists, he's a scorer, a flat-out scorer, a guy who can get it done in the half court as well, which is very useful because he's confident he can score off the dribble and from the catch and shoot, which, again, makes me just excited about the long-term future of the Hornets' backcourt with Book Knight and LaMelo Ball. Big dub there. I'm so happy with it. So, so happy with it. So as you fast forward through the draft, actually, I don't want to say fast forward through the draft because I want to mention something that Rod Boone tweeted out as he quoted Mitch Kupchak's kind of thought process or just experience during that pick. Because Kupchak said that they were surprised that Book Knight fell to the Hornets at 11. Kupchak said he did come down to us further than I thought he would, and that's a good thing. The Hornets got a player that they rated much higher, and coincidentally, he fits a need in the backcourt. Love it. Kupchak also said that he received a ton of calls in the 20 minutes, I think, leading up to the pick. He said it was off the charts, the amount of interest in that 11th pick. And there were some tempting offers, some tempting deals that he's never seen that before. And he says there was such a demand for that pick this year that he hasn't like ever seen it. So salute to Kupchak for remaining disciplined here and getting a guy who can be like a long shot rookie of the year candidate just because of his scoring ability and the situation he's in. It'll be a long shot, but I love it. There's the shades of like a Tyrese Halliburton element here with James Book Knight that maybe he can replicate in this upcoming season. I'm very excited very excited about that. I was doing my best not to swear during the live. I was live streaming during it on my channel on the Sam Dracula channel. I was very trying to be measured about it, but bruh, I love it. I love it. So fast forward, okay? Fast forward to the second half of the draft. Specifically, was it 19? Is that? Yeah, to 19. The Knicks are on the clock, and we hear word. It's been a trade. A trade has been made. The Hornets back in the lottery. They trade a future first-round draft pick, protected first-round draft pick, to the New York Knicks to get back in the lottery, and the Hornets select Kai Jones, another guy I would have been pretty happy with at 11. The Hornets really liked him, obviously, enough to trade into the first round for him again, and they took him. Kai Jones is a defender, an on-ball shot blocker, athletic defender, right? He needs to work on his shooting, obviously, but that will come in time. He's an incredible athlete. He's a little undersized as well, like just like a little like skinny, I would say. But that's no issue whatsoever. And he seems to be excited to be in Charlotte. I think it was on his Instagram story. He was rapping along to music and his caption was Lob City 2.0 because with him, Bridges, LaMelo obviously running things, that is a tantalizing thought. And then you add in Malik Monk if he returns. James Book Knight is a very good athlete as well. He can get up and throw it down with ease. So Eric Collins is going to have a fantastic time calling these Hornets games. Not that he wasn't already, but I think he's going to go up a notch with Kai Jones and James Bouknight. The future is very bright in Charlotte. So when I go back to the Mason Plumlee acquisition, Mason Plumlee, I think, can walk in and be the starter right away, which would allow Kai Jones to develop. You know, Borrego can pick and choose how Kai Jones gets involved just to, you know, maintain his development and his confidence as a young player. And then you also don't forget about Vernon Carey and Nick Richards, guys, who I think will start the year. One of, if not both those guys, I think will start the year in the G League, and which is great for them because they can continue to develop, because they got robbed of a rookie season, of the rookie development cycle, because no summer league for them last year, abbreviated training camp, limited just access to their teammates, basically, because of COVID protocols. And then the G League bubble was so weird and out of the ordinary. So hopefully, as the world kind of goes to the more normal side of things, those guys, Vernon Carey and Nick Richards, can get the development that they deserve as incoming players. And they can be like a de facto rookie again and kind of join in on this current rookie class as young players that can help out this Hornets team in the short term and definitely in the long term. But Kai Jones, he seems to really be happy to be in Charlotte, which is a big deal. It's a very big deal. I love it. His comps, Christian Wood, JaVale McGee, just like really good athletes. And if he could put together a shot, like if he can have a shot on him and stretch the floor a bit as his career develops, he could be a real stud in this league. I'm very excited about it. I hope you guys are too. And hopefully my excitement is coming across, because it is early. The draft did end at 1-ish a.m., and I'm recording this not too long after the next morning. So this is a dub. This is a big dub. And what I appreciate the most is the Hornets went for it. You know, it wasn't a reach. The Hornets didn't need a center at 11. They went best player available. Job done. Love that. With Kai Jones, he's a guy they worked out. They've talked to. They've targeted. They zeroed in on him for a reason. And I trust Kupchak in that respect. They went back into the draft and got him. And I want to talk about the pick that they gave up, or the future pick that they gave up. So this is how it works. And it's really the Hornets banking on their ability to make the playoffs. Because if the Hornets make the playoffs next year, that pick goes to the Knicks. You know, the Hornets would have to be a pretty high up seed. Not a top six seed-ish in the East. Because this is how it works. In 2022, that pick is protected between 1 and 18. So if the Hornets, you know, bottom out and end up with the number one overall pick, let's say, the Hornets keep the pick, and that pick would then, like, roll over to the Knicks the next year. If the Hornets, like, are good and they're picking somewhere between 19 and up, you know, if they're a 4 seed and up or better in the East, then that pick goes to New York, which, you know, fair play. The Hornets would be in a playoff position and in a very favorable playoff position, and the pick goes to the Knicks. And so their protections on the pick from 2022 to 23, 24, 25, those years. And then if by then, because of how the protections work out, by then, if the pick isn't converted to the Knicks, then the first round pick becomes 2 second round picks in 2026, which, again, I'm here for. I think the Hornets finessed the Knicks, to say the least. And I'm really happy with that. I was a little concerned about trading a future first round pick. It's always a little scary, especially when the team's in flux. Like, the team is very much in the infancy of its development. So, like, what are you doing trading picks away? But the way the protections work out and the player they got in return in Kai Jones, it tells me they really like what they see there. I like what they see. I like what I saw. So moving forward, JT Thor was selected in the second round. He was the player the Hornets acquired in this Mason Plumlee deal, basically. When the Hornets moved up 20 spots in the second round, with that pick, they selected JT Thor. He's a project offensively. He's 6'8". He's like a 7'3" wingspan. I think he could defend any position, every position on the floor. He's just not what he needs to be offensively yet. And if he pulls that together, he could be a real problem in the NBA. Like, when I say that, a problem for the other team, a very good thing, a very good asset for the Hornets. Also, maybe the best name in the draft, JT Thor. Again, Eric Collins is going to have a field day with an individual named JT Thor. His comps are Jonathan Isaac, Jaden McDaniels, not ours, Jaden, and then Al-Farouq Aminu. I'm very excited about that. You know, it's high upside. It's what you expect in the second round, the lottery ticket, so to speak. I don't know if we'll see him get involved much in his rookie year. I fully expect him to be involved in the Summer League and G League, especially early on. If he can pull off like a improvement in his passing game and his shooting game and his decision making, he can get big minutes. But in the short term, I don't see him getting involved with the Hornets immediately. But I love his upside. I love his upside. Okay, and then so with the Hornets' second round pick, you know, right at the tail end of the draft, they select Scotty Lewis from Florida. He is a guard who is a defender. So they went defense in the second round. JT Thor is a bigger player. He's like 6'8", 6'9", so he's more of a wing forward. Like, he can defend all, you know, I think he can defend every position on the floor. Scotty Lewis is a guard. He's 6'4". But he's a defender, you know, he's a good at rim finisher, that's what he offers on the offensive end. He's not much of a shooter. He was a highly touted prospect going into college, going into Florida. But he hasn't really like developed as a shooter or scorer that, you know, you'd expect from a guy at his level. But from a defense point of view, as like an out of the box, like, you know, you get him day one out of the box, Scotty Lewis, as an on-ball defender, looks very useful. We need that. The Hornets need that. We saw too many players carve up the Hornets from the three-point line. Like, the memory of playing Kyle Anderson in the Memphis Grizzlies last year and him hitting multiple three-pointers from the exact same spot on the floor and the Hornets doing nothing about it, that's burned in my brain, in my memory. Scotty Lewis, JT Thor, and just, you know, just another year of the current guys developing as players. All of that makes me think the Hornets moving in the right direction defensively. Scotty Lewis seems to be a high intensity athlete as well, which is what you want to see from a defender, that effort, that work rate. I love it. So as a whole, I think they nailed the draft. Absolutely nailed it. They seem to be in control of their own destiny. When I say they, the Hornets, a guy they liked a lot, James Bouknight, was there for them at 11. They took him, smart move. A guy they liked a lot, Kai Jones, they went and got Scotty Lewis, JT Thor. Man, because Thor wouldn't be there when the Hornets drafted where they were going to draft at the tail end of the second round. So they basically traded up for him in a way as well, got him. And then Scotty Lewis has some long-term potential as an NBA player. His comps are Otto Porter, which, you know, if it pans out, wouldn't hate it. Another note, this isn't the draft. This is a guy that it went undrafted. That guy has an invite. DJ Carton. Yeah, so yeah, DJ Carton signed an Exhibit 10 deal with the Hornets. So we'll see how that shakes out. He's like 6'3". He's a guard. Sophomore out of Marquette. He's kind of makeup. He's a decent scorer, adequate playmaker, rebounder. But, you know, there's a reason he went undrafted. He has a lot to prove to himself and the rest of the league. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out. And then, obviously, there's some other big news that I just realized we haven't talked about here on the podcast because of the timing of it. But the Hornets are bringing in LiAngelo Ball, reportedly. So salute to Rod Boone once again, for reporting that first. LiAngelo Ball is going to be joining the Hornets Summer League team in a few days here. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. If he can make the team, if he can make the G League team, he's a kid with a lot of potential. He went undrafted in 2018. And because of for COVID, you know, he was with that Oklahoma Thunder G League team. And that, you know, that season got canceled because of the lockdown. He didn't make the Pistons roster because of an ankle injury. Not the Pistons roster, excuse me, like the Pistons G League team. He didn't make it there. And so I look at him as a guy who's touted as a scorer, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how he moves on the court. If his ankle's healthy, if he has athletic, like if he's still able to maintain his burst, if his shot is hitting, if he's making good shot selections. And then worst case, he could be a guy that could just be our version of Thanasis Antetokounmpo, right? Where you have the young superstar in LaMelo and having his brother on the team just to help him out. Yeah, you know, if that is the end result, fair play. The Hornets won't play, like everyone on the roster won't play every single game, right? So at the very least, as an end of the bench guy, if LiAngelo Ball can target that next year, like this season, and then, you know, as he develops his game, maybe he can work himself up to a upper rotation guy. And who knows? We may have a whole Ball family here. Because free agency begins on Monday. Lonzo's a restricted free agent. Maybe the Hornets can continue some madness and pull something off. They won't have a ton of cap space, especially because, you know, got to still have to pay Malik and Devontae. I don't know. I'm very interested to see what happens with that. But a lot going on. It's ratcheted up quickly, you know. It escalated quickly for the Hornets in a very good way, because within like 4 or 5 hours, they've done a lot, and it's only going to get crazier, especially when you look at the teams around them in their level, like the Pacers, the Heat, the Hawks, you know, and basically everyone in the East that isn't the Magic, right, or aren't the Sixers, Nets, or Bucks, because like there's levels to this, right? Those three teams are in a league of their own. There's everybody else, and then there's like the bottom, like where the Magic are. And this Hornets team is competing with all those teams in the middle. And it with reportedly Westbrook going to LA, and all the kind of like with Kuzma, KCP, Harrell, those guys going back to Washington, that's an interesting look for that team. I don't know if that team is better or not, but like you get what I'm saying. Like there's the teams in the East as they navigate this offseason, we could see them make a jump and maybe push the Hornets out of playoff contention, play in contention if they aren't careful. So I'm glad the Hornets are doing what they're doing to maintain their spot in this race to be a presence in the Eastern Conference, hopefully, and they can hopefully avoid what happened in the play-in, the unfortunate outcome in the play-in against the Pacers. Big rip there. But what do you think? What do you think about the Hornets draft? Mason Plumlee, LiAngelo Ball. You can tweet me at Sam Dracula. Let me know. I'm curious. I'm curious how you feel. But I hope it's pretty obvious how I feel. I love it. I love what happened yesterday. I'm excited for the future of the franchise. I'm excited for the short-term future of the franchise. Things are looking nice. Things are looking up for the Charlotte Hornets. And, you know, we'll see what happens on Monday with what Zeller and Biz, Malik, Devontae, what their futures hold. But until then, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week. Hopefully we'll have some free agent stuff to talk about. And yeah, I'm excited for it. It's a fun part about the NBA. It's a 12-month sport. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you so much for listening to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, presented by Bet Online. Catch you next week. Take care. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.